And I know the message today is on Joseph, but as I was on my way here in my car, I felt like God gave me these verses out of Proverbs chapter 3 and how relevant they are to the message that he has for us today. Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to start right in verse 1. I'm reading from the ESV version. Verse 1 says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness," everyone say faithfulness, "let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so that you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man." And then popular verse 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." Let me pray for us just really quick one last time. God, open our ears, open our hearts. God, open our minds. You have a word for us today. We might not understand why curveballs get thrown sometimes at us, but you know exactly why. You know everything, God. You are omniscient. You are all-knowing, all-powerful, Lord. And we believe that you have a word. We want to receive it, and we want to be changed by it. We're not sitting back being entertained today. There is only one person here who should be entertained, and that's Jesus Christ, as we entertain you with our worship, with our lives, with our obedience, and with our faithfulness, Lord. Give me clarity of mind, and lead me as I teach and speak today, Lord. We love you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, standing behind home plate was one of the greatest catchers of all time. His name was Yogi Berra, and he was crouched down, getting ready to receive the first pitch that was trying to be hit by one of the greatest batters of all time, Hank Aaron. And so Hank Aaron is standing at home plate, and he's getting ready to receive this first pitch, and Yogi Berra is just sitting here messing with Hank. And he's like, "Yo, Hank, you're holding the baseball bat wrong. You're supposed to hold the baseball bat so that the letters on the bat are facing you. You're holding the bat wrong, so now when the pitch comes, you're going to mess up because you're holding the bat in a weird, strange way." He was trying to mess with Hank. He was trying to get in his mind, trying to mess him up. The first pitch came. Hank Aaron crushed it over the center field fence. Home run. Started rounding the bases, first base, second base. As he hit third base and started getting closer to home, he was staring at Yogi Berra. Running down the third baseline, as he stepped on home plate, he looked at Yogi and he said, "I didn't come here to read." You see, when you know why you're here, when you know why you are here, the little things that are thrown at you in your life don't mess you up. When life throws you curveballs, when people try to mess with you, when the enemy tries to bring you down and distract you, if you know why you're here, the little things will not mess you up. God is good. And I believe that this is the message that God has put on my heart for us this morning. I think that people are having things thrown at them right now. People are feeling like their life is maybe falling apart. Curveballs keep coming. We don't understand what's going on with all the curveballs. And I feel like this message perfectly describes this illustration of baseball, describes the life of Joseph perfectly. We're going to hop into chapter 41, but I want to give you a quick overview of what's happened in the life of Joseph up until chapter 41, where he interprets the dream of Pharaoh. Joseph, if you don't know the story of Joseph, at one moment in his life, everything was extremely well. Everything was going great. He was dad's favorite. He was getting gifts that his brothers weren't getting. He was receiving dreams from God. He was extremely blessed and extremely anointed and favored by God. And so one moment, everything's amazing. He's like, "I'm getting these dreams from God. Dad, you love me so much. Why do you love me so much? Why do you keep giving me these gifts? Everything's so amazing." And the next moment in his life, his brothers, his own family, throw him in the bottom of a well, and they're having a conversation at the top about, are we going to kill him, or are we going to sell him into slavery? His own brothers, his own family. Like, you have to have a heart of stone not to be moved by this story of Joseph. A friend of mine was telling me the other day that they were telling their kids the story of Joseph, and when they were explaining how the brothers were trying to figure out whether or not they were going to kill him or sell him into slavery, the kids didn't understand it. They just couldn't wrap their minds around the idea of how someone could be in such an extreme situation like that, where their own family is like, are we going to kill him? Or do we want to get some money for him? Should we just sell him into slavery? His brothers ended up selling him into slavery. They faked his death. His dad thought that he was dead. And so everything at this one moment, why is everything so perfect? And then the next moment, everything goes extremely bad in life. I wonder if you've ever been there where just you are in an incredible season. Everything seems to be going amazing. Then all of a sudden, life just throws you a curveball. I wonder if anyone has ever been there before. As I preach today, I normally say this, but I forgot to at the beginning. It makes me nervous if you're just super quiet the whole time. And so I'm kind of a holla back preacher. If you want to holla back, or if you feel like God is speaking to you, man, say amen, or that's good, or God is speaking, or that was for the person next to me, or something like that, so that we know that God is speaking to you. And so the story of Joseph, it fascinates me, and he's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. If you look at the book of Genesis and you think about all of the heroes of the faith, you think of the greats like Moses. You think of Adam and Eve, the first human beings, and you think of Abraham and the covenant that he made with God. But Joseph, we normally don't put him at the top of that list, and yet he takes up more of the book of Genesis than any of those people. I think he takes up about a fourth or a third of the book of Genesis. So Joseph, I feel like God is trying to speak to us through the life of Joseph by how much he is just jam-packed in the Bible with the story of his life. So he ends up getting sold into slavery by his own brothers, but he remains faithful to God. And this is what's fascinating about the story of Joseph. The Bible doesn't record anything negative about him. And yet he takes up